All right, let's trade in those daydreams for, some actual plane tickets. Because today we're going deep, a deep dive into planning a Portugal trip.
Ooh, Portugal.
Yeah. And we're not just talking like basic guidebook stuff.
No.
You guys shared three travel blogs, right? From a couple who clearly know, I think, their Peste de Nata from their Vinho Verde.
Sounds like it.
They hit Lisbon, Porto, Ende, the Silver Coast, which, okay, Silver Coast, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that's the one that kind of caught my eye too, just reading through these blogs. What's interesting is they've structured it less like a checklist, top 10 things to do, and more like a story of their trip.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and they've got that like insider perspective, which is always so valuable. It's
Yeah.
like having friends who just got back and are just like, oh my God, let me tell you everything.
Yes. I love that. Okay, so Lisbon, it was one of those cities everyone seems to have an opinion on. What did you find about their Lisbon experience? What stood out to you?
Well, I think the way they connected the city's history to its modern vibe. So, for example, they recommend starting with a hop-off bus tour.
Right, pretty standard.
Yeah, you get your bearings,
Yeah.
but then they really hone in on this Torre de Belém,
Okay.
which is this 16th century fortress that used to guard the harbor.
Right. I remember they called it a history lesson with a view.
Yeah, exactly. And did they give any, more detail as to what made it so historically significant?
They did. They said it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's a prime example of Manuelan architecture,
Okay.
which is this really ornate style unique to Portugal. Like intricate carvings, monochrome motifs, all that. It's like stepping into a history book, but way more Instagrammable, right?
Yeah, no filter needed.
Exactly. So it's not just a pretty building, it's like a symbol of Portugal's seafaring past, right? Like when they were exploring new worlds and all that.
Yeah.
Now I'm picturing those explorers setting sail, looking back at that tower as they leave.
And that actually leads perfectly into their day two recommendation.
Oh, which is.
The Christ the King statue,
Oh, yes.
much more modern, built in the mid-20th century,
Okay.
but its placement across the Tagus River almost mirrors the Torre de Belém, right?
Oh, interesting.
So it's like a bookend to the city's maritime story.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it like that. But okay, for me, the statue is all about those panoramic views.
Oh, the views are incredible.
Did they recommend any other spots for like getting that bird's eye perspective?
Definitely. They were big fans of Alfama.
Oh yeah, the Alfen district.
With those narrow, winding streets, Moorish influences, they suggest exploring the Castelo de São Jorge,
Okay, yeah.
a medieval castle which has seen Romans, Visigoths, Moors. Talk about layers of history.
It's amazing how a single place can hold so many centuries of stories.
It really is.
But I'm also curious about their museum recommendations because sometimes, those can feel a bit tourist trappy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But this is where their personal tastes really shine through, because they kind of bypass some of the bigger, more famous museums, and they suggest the Museu Nacional do Azulejo,
Okay.
which is dedicated entirely to those beautiful blue and white tiles.
Oh, yes, the azulejos. I knew they'd come up.
You can't talk about Portugal without talking about Azulejo.
Exactly. And so by focusing on just this one museum, they're kind of encouraging a deeper dive into a single aspect of Portuguese culture.
Exactly.
I love that. Did they mention any other offbeat museums or experiences like that?
They did. On their fourth day, they visited the Palácio Nacional de Queluz,
Okay.
which is a palace just outside of Lisbon. It's this amazing blend of Baroque, Rococo, and neoclassical styles. They said it was less crowded than some of the more famous palaces.
Okay, I like that.
And they really got a sense of royal life
Yeah.
back in the day.
So instead of just hitting the must-see list, they're finding places that offer a different kind of experience. That's
Exactly.
great. Did they have any practical tips for getting around Lisbon, especially with all those hills?
Comfortable shoes.
Yes.
Absolutely essential.
Yeah.
They're also big advocates for public transportation,
Okay.
especially the vintage trams.
Oh, yeah, those are iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also utilize the city's network of lifts and escalators to navigate those steep inclines.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And of course, no trip to Lisbon is complete without trying, the food
The
scene.
food, yes.
Did they have any culinary recommendations that stood out to you?
Instead of listing restaurants, they raved about a guided food tour they did.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, they said it was the best way to sample a variety of traditional dishes and get a local's perspective.
Yeah.
They even tried gingina,
What's that?
that sour cherry liqueur,
Okay.
which they say is a must try.
All right, so Lisbon is officially climbing my travel list.
Mine too.
But we have two more regions to explore, right? Are you ready to delve into the charm of Porto and the hidden gems of the Silver Coast?
Absolutely. Porto awaits with its river views and its historic architecture. And then we're going to uncover the secrets of the Silver Coast, that blend of surf culture and medieval charm.
Let's go.
All right, Porto. It's got that reputation for being historic, but also a little bit edgy, right? What vibe did our bloggers get from Portugal's second city?
Well, they were struck by how different it felt from Lisbon, even though they're both coastal cities. Porto has this like grittier feel, more industrial, but with these pockets of beauty tucked away, they called it a city of contrasts, which I think is very fitting.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do they have any advice for, how to approach exploring a city with so many different sides to it?
Well, they suggest starting with a landmark that embodies that blend of old and new, the Palácio da Bolsa, the former stock exchange building. And it's this stunning example of neoclassical architecture, but then the interiors, oh, they're incredibly ornate, drawing on Moorish and Gothic influences. So I'm picturing like a very serious looking building on the outside, and then bam, you step inside and it's like a fairy tale palace.
Exactly. They were especially impressed by the Arabian Hall, which was inspired by the Alhambra in Granada, Spain.
Oh, wow.
And there's even this deliberate mistake in the entrance door, a nod to the belief that only Allah can achieve perfection.
Oh, that's so fascinating. It speaks to a whole other layer of like cultural and religious history woven into the architecture. Did they connect that to any other sites in Porto?
They did. After the Palácio da Bolsa, they headed down to the Ribeira District, which is that historic waterfront area along the Douro River. They describe it as this maze of narrow streets, colorful buildings, with cafes spilling out onto the sidewalks,
Okay, now I'm getting serious FOMO.
and the scent of grilled sardines in the air.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like the perfect place to just wander and soak up the atmosphere. Do they have any like specific spots in the Ribeira district that they recommend?
They suggested taking a ride on the Teleférico de Gaia cable car, which gives you those panoramic views of the river and the city.
Oh, nice.
Touristy, sure, but they said worth it for the photos.
A little touristy indulgence is totally allowed on vacation, right? What if you're more into exploring on foot? Any recommendations for that?
They raved about the Escada Guindé, which is this steep, winding staircase that connects the Ribeira district to the upper part of the city. They warn it's a bit of a workout.
Okay, good to know.
But the views from the top are spectacular.
I'm all for a good view, but maybe I'll pack some extra snacks for that climb. Did they mention anything about, Porto's famous bridges?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Dom Luís Ar Bridge was a highlight for them. They
Wow.
recommend walking across it at sunset for the best views of the city and the river. They described it as this grand iron structure that feels both historic and modern at the same time.
I love that. Speaking of blending history and modernity, did they visit the São Bento train station? I've heard it's more like an art museum than a transportation hub.
They could not stop talking about it. They said the entire station is covered in these incredible azulejo panels,
Oh, wow.
which depict scenes from Portuguese history. They spent hours just admiring the details and trying to decipher the stories behind each panel.
Okay, that's officially on my must-see list. And did they happen to visit the Livraria Lello bookshop, the one that supposedly inspired J.K. Rowling for Hogwarts?
Of course. They said it lived up to the hype.
I figured.
Ornate staircase, stained glass ceiling, the whole nine yards. They even bought a first edition of Harry Potter in Portuguese as a souvenir.
That's amazing. Porto seems like a city that rewards, both the curious traveler and the bookworm in all of us.
Yeah.
But before we move on to the Silver Coast, did they offer any practical tips for navigating Porto?
They did. They stressed that Porto is much more walkable than Lisbon, but it's still quite hilly.
Right.
So, again, comfortable shoes are essential.
Got it.
And they also recommend trying a tuk-tuk tour.
A tuk-tuk tour. Okay.
Yeah, for a more unique way to see the city.
Fun. Did they mention anything about like the cost of traveling in Porto compared to Lisbon?
They found Porto to be slightly more affordable,
Oh, okay.
especially for accommodation and dining.
Good to know.
And they also recommended visiting in the shoulder seasons,
Right.
like spring or fall, for better deals and fewer crowds.
Great tip. So Porto, stunning views, historic charm, and a touch of magic. Now, I'm really curious about what awaits us on the Silver Coast.
Ready to swap those city streets for sandy beaches and medieval towns?
Let's do it. Okay, Silver Coast? It sounds kind of almost mythical.
It does.
What, geographically speaking, what are we talking about? And what vibe did the bloggers get from this region?
So imagine you're driving north from Lisbon along the Atlantic coast.
Yeah.
You've got beaches, rolling hills, vineyards. And tucked in amongst it all are these incredibly well-preserved medieval towns. It's like stepping back in time, but with, you know, ocean views.
Okay, now I'm picturing a knight in shining armor riding a surfboard. Did they have a suggested route for exploring this seemingly magical place?
They did, and it all starts about an hour north of Lisbon in the town of Óbidos.
Óbidos, okay.
This place is essentially a walled city, completely encircled by these, like, massive medieval fortifications. You can actually walk along the top of the wall for these, like, incredible views.
Wait, you said a walled city, like Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
Were there any historical insights there, you know, that went beyond just the, like, wow factor?
Absolutely. Óbidos has this long history of being gifted to Portuguese queens, dating all the way back to the 13th century. Mm. So it wasn't just a strategic stronghold.
Right.
It was also a symbol of power and prestige.
That adds a whole other layer to the experience. You know, it's not just about the architecture. It's about understanding the role women played in shaping Portugal's history.
Exactly.
Did they mention anything about the town itself, you know, aside from the wall?
Oh, yeah. They said the streets are narrow and cobblestoned, lined with whitewashed houses adorned with flowers. And apparently, you can't leave without trying. Gingina, a sour cherry liqueur, traditionally served in a chocolate cup.
Okay, hold on. Chocolate cups. That's, like, next level adorable. But I'm guessing the Silver Coast has more to offer than just medieval charm, right?
Mm.
Especially with all that coastline.
Right. And that's where Peniche comes in.
Peniche, okay.
It's a peninsula further north, and the bloggers described it as a surfer's paradise.
Mm.
It's got consistent waves, thanks to its unique geography, with beaches facing different directions.
So whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, there's a wave waiting for you in Peniche.
Exactly.
Did they try their hand at surfing?
They did. They took a beginner lesson and said it was a blast, even though they wiped out more than they stayed upright.
I can relate.
But they emphasized that Peniche is more than just surfing.
Oh, okay.
It's also a fishing town with a working harbor.
Oh, cool.
And you can take boat trips to the Berlengas Archipelago.
What's that?
It's this group of islands just off the coast.
Islands. Okay, now we're getting into adventure territory. What's out there on the archipelago?
Well, the bloggers said it's a nature reserve, home to seabirds like puffins and just all sorts of diverse marine life. They went on a snorkeling trip and saw octopus, sea stars, you know, all sorts of cool creatures.
Wow, so it's like a whole different world, just a short boat ride from the mainland?
Yeah.
Did they make it any further up the coast?
They did. They spent a day in Nazar.
Nazar, okay.
A town that's famous for its giant waves.
Wait, the Nazar? Like the place where they surf those monster waves, like the ones you see in documentaries?
The very same. Apparently there's this underwater canyon that creates these massive swells.
Wow.
And in the winter, professional surfers come from all over the world to try their luck.
Okay, that's both terrifying and incredibly cool. Did they witness any of these epic wave riding feats?
They were there in the off season, so no giant waves, but they said just standing on the cliffs and looking out at the ocean was awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
And they also mentioned that Nazar has a charming old town.
Okay.
And a beautiful beach. So it's worth a visit, even if you're not a big wave surfer.
So we've got history, culture, adventure, and stunning natural beauty, all within a relatively short stretch of coastline.
Pretty amazing.
What a region. Anything else?
If you're into golf, the Silver Coast is apparently a golfer's paradise.
Oh, right.
They mentioned Praia del Rey, which has this, like, championship course right on the ocean.
Okay, the Silver Coast has officially moved to the top of my travel bucket list. But before we wrap up, I have to ask about that thought-provoking question the bloggers posed at the end of their trip.
You mean the one about what aspect of Portuguese culture might change our perspective on our own lives?
Yes, exactly. After immersing themselves in all these different regions, what insights did they come away with?
Well, they were struck by the Portuguese concept of saudade.
Saudade.
Which is this melancholic longing for something or someone that's lost or unattainable.
Mm.
They said it's kind of woven into the music, the poetry, even the way people interact with each other.
So it's like a bittersweet appreciation for the beauty of life, even with its inherent sadness.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Did they elaborate on how this concept might, you know, change our perspective?
They said that recognizing and embracing saudade can help us appreciate the present moment more fully.
Oh.
And find beauty even in the midst of loss or longing. It's a reminder that life is a journey with both joy and sorrow, and both are essential to the human experience.
That's a really powerful takeaway from their travels. It's a reminder that travel isn't just about seeing new places. It's about expanding our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for guiding us through these incredible travel blogs. I feel like I've already experienced a taste of Portugal, and I'm so ready to plan my own adventure.
Me too.
And for all of you listening, we'd love to hear about your Portugal experiences, whether it's a favorite memory, a hidden gem you stumbled upon, or maybe even a moment that changed your perspective.
Until next time, happy travels, everyone.